big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome to the Dynasty Dugout Show, a podcast covering all things minor league baseball. Get a front row seat to the action with everything you need to know about the future stars of Major League Baseball. And now, here's your host, Chris Clegg.
Good morning. Welcome to another week of the Dynasty Dugout Show. Today is Wednesday, April 3rd, and we have a full week of minor league action this week, which is exciting. AAA geared up for their first six-game series starting yesterday on Tuesday, and all affiliates begin on Friday. Affiliate assignments are being announced. We're seeing where players are being assigned, which is a lot of fun. Ton of good teams, ton of players going all over, and man, I am excited because minor league ball is back. It's been a crazy week for me. I've had a prep game and a college game to cover so far. And this weekend we'll be at South Carolina, Texas A&M. Obviously the A&M lineup is stacked with talent, as is the South Carolina lineup. So it'll be a fun series that I'm looking forward to. I'm just excited to be back at baseball games. Yesterday was at the Clemson game. Clemson, the number two team in the country. They have a lot of intriguing guys. You talk about Will Taylor for this year's draft. He'll be somebody that will be interesting. The teams will covet because he's a very athletic player. He was a two-way sport guy, not a two-way player, but two-sport athlete at Clemson, playing football and baseball. He actually turned down first-round money coming out of high school in 2021 to do two sports at Clemson. Tore his ACL, playing football his freshman year, and it set him back a little bit. But Taylor's a good athlete. He runs well. He's got quick hands. He gets on base. I think he's going to be a second-round type guy that teams really covet because of the athleticism. You also look at Cam Cannarella, who's going to be one of the top picks in next year's draft. He does it all. Good glove. He hits. He makes a ton of contact. He's got a frame that could add a little weight and get to more power. So I'm really intrigued by Cannarella as well. Blake Wright has some of the most home runs in college baseball. He has 13, which is right at the top of the leaderboard. I think he's top 10. He has moved from third base to second base this year, which is pretty interesting to watch out for. But the versatility certainly helps him. He can play all over the infield. So there's some fun names that stood out to me, some younger guys as well. But those are just some quick hits that I saw. Also saw Ty Peoples on Monday. He's a top prep guy from Georgia for 2025. Peoples is one that's committed to Georgia. He's 100% hustle every play. He's got a good glove in center. He gets good jumps. He has good bat speed, and he's got a frame that can probably add a little weight. So I'm excited about seeing what he can do as well. But let's get to some minor league action. Yesterday, full day of AAA, and a lot of good stuff went on. Again, Norfolk's lineup was absolutely incredible. To no surprise at all, they have just been ridiculous all year. Jackson Holliday led off the game with a home run. Connor Norby followed him up with a home run. It was a pretty wild day for them. I think they hit six total home runs, scored 10 runs. But Heston Kerstad's the one to talk about, in my opinion. He bashed two home runs in the game. He drove in four. He had three hits in five plate appearances. Kerstad's been on a tear this season. He has been hitting the cover off the ball. He had the home runs had exit velocities of 107 and 106 miles an hour, and he had a single at 100 miles an hour. It was his first two home runs of the 2024 season. Again, just four games, but he's been hitting it hard, and he's been making a ton of contact. He had just one whiff in the game. He has an 84% contact rate on the season after just sitting at 73% last year. Again, it is very early, so I'm not going to put a ton of stock into this, but at the end of the day, Kerstad is one that debuted last year. He hit for some power. I think that Kerstad is one that's just a little underrated. I am looking at this profile and thinking that he's going to be a 25 home run bat consistently in the majors. Decent OBP skills, and if the contact skills stick, then we could be in for a really fun career from Heston Kerstad. Dustin Harris is a blast from the past. He hit two home runs yesterday and drove in three. He's been off to a good start this season. Dustin Harris was one that really popped off in 2022, where he was playing first base at the time. It was like, okay, this was a very unique first base profile that had speed. In 2022, he hit 17 home runs, stole 19 bases. And that was coming off a year in 2021, actually, where he was even better. He hit 20 home runs and stole 25 bases, hit over 300. So consistently good in 2021 and 2022. And then he fell off a little bit in 2023, but he did steal a wild amount of bases. He stole 41 bases last year while hitting 14 home runs between AA and AAA, but the contact skills had dropped a bit and the average dipped with it. But Harris is off to a good start. It is his second stint in AAA now, as he got 67 games there last year. Harris has put up over 100 WRC plus at every stop for his career, though, which is encouraging. He's now an outfielder only. He doesn't play first base anymore. But with some injuries in Texas, this could be a guy that does get a shot pretty soon. Mentioned the two home run game. He's already stolen a bag this year. The strikeouts are really low at 15%. He's making good contact. And he's slashing 417, 462, 917. Can Dustin Harris become that player that he was several years ago and be a 2020 type threat? I hope so, because it is a fun profile, and that speed is pretty sneaky. He's a good athlete, in my opinion, and Dustin Harris does a lot well. Cade Povich put up a really weird line on Tuesday. Got solid results, was near perfect for six innings. He allowed just one hit, posted five strikeouts, but he generated three total whiffs in the start, 10% whiff rate. Povich was highly efficient, though. He landed a ton of called strikes, having a 30% CSW. It's kind of bizarre to look at. Hitters made 100% zone contact against him, but he limited the hard contact well, which was encouraging. When the Orioles need a starter, it seems like it's going to come down to either Povich or Chase McDermott. McDermott was decent in his first start, but he did have some walk issues. But Povich certainly looked like a command specialist in this start, as they faced off against the Knights. Obviously, he had a lot of support from the hitters that helped him out from the early going. I mean, two home runs to start the game will give you good support. Povich needed 74 pitches to get through that six innings of work. Interestingly enough, you look at the fastball, the velo was pretty solid. 92 is where he normally sits. Touched 94. It's getting a little more ride on it than it was previously, which is encouraging. You know, Povich is not going to be a wow you type guy. You look at him, he actually looks a little bit like Max Fried when you look at the mechanics, when you look at him on the mound with the build. Very similar to Fried. But he misses bats and mixes the pitch as well. Like, you look at the pitch mix usage, it was 36% four-seam, 30% changeup, 19% cutter, 11% curve, and 4% sweeper. I'd honestly love to see Povich use that sweeper a bit more. It's a really good pitch. He had up to 17 inches of sweep on it, which is very encouraging. The curveball had up to 67 inches of downward movement, 68, consistently in the 60s, though. It is a just fall off the map type of pitch, sitting in the mid 70s. It's a good change of pace. The cutter gives him a fourth or fifth velo band, So you look at the profile and five velo bands, five different movement profiles. All right, this could be a very interesting arm in Cade Povich. Keep going down the list. Pedro Leon, fourth year in AAA. He was once a top prospect when he signed. Many thought he would make his MLB debut pretty quick. He made it to AAA in 2021. He is still sitting there today. He had two doubles on Tuesday, both with exit velocities of at least 110 miles an hour. He's played just three games so far, but he has five hits and three doubles. It's really too early to make any kind of assumption about Leon and if something has changed because it's three games. But I will say that Pedro Leon is still intriguing to me because he has power, He has speed, and he has OBP skills. The contact skills have been horrendous, but you look, 2022, 17 homers, 38 stolen bases, across 504 plate appearances. Last year, 21 homers and 21 stolen bases across 564, and OBPs of 365 and 343 respectively at those stops each year. You know, maybe Leon finds some contact this year. If he does, then there could be an interesting player here to buy back into, and somebody that's completely fallen off radars. So watch Pedro Leon closely, because you never know. There might just be something here. Miguel Vargas is looking to find playing time in Los Angeles. He had a second home run in four games on Tuesday night. He also added a double, hitting .313 so far through four games. Again, these are all small samples, with a 1171 OPS. Home run left the bat at 105.4 miles an hour. He's making contact consistently, putting up an 80% contact rate so far. It's pretty encouraging to see. So when I look at this profile, yeah, maybe it's one that could find its way back. Vargas was once a top prospect. I, at the end of the day, might be buying back in. Depends on if he gets a shot. I'd love to see him traded personally, because I think that, you know, he's one that probably needs a fresh start somewhere else to find playing time, because you really have to be a plus bat to get in the lineup in Los Angeles. A couple other names to hit on here as we keep going down the minor league rundown. We mentioned that Cade Povich had a good start. He may have had the best start of any pitcher on Tuesday, but Connor Phillips also was decent. He tossed six innings of one-run ball. He struck out three and he walked three. He allowed four hits. Phillips' fastball was looking good as usual. And that pitch is going to be a go-to pitch at the top of the zone. It's a good four-seam with ride. Phillips made his major league debut last year. I think there's a chance he gets back into the major league rotation this year. But when you look at this profile of Connor Phillips, it is volatile because he struggles to throw strikes at times. I think Phillips is one that still has plenty of time to improve. He is just 22 years old, and the best could probably be ahead for him. So watch out for Connor Phillips. He looked really good against the Gwinnett Stripers lineup. That's the Braves AAA affiliate. Pat Monteverde is a name that looked like he was popping off early last season. Marlins left-handed pitcher. He looked really good. Tossed five innings, struck out six, and walked one. He did allow five hits and three earned runs. There was some bad luck that kind of went his way for Jacksonville, but at the end of the day, still got the win against the Durham Bulls. Monteverde is like a really, I don't say he's a high floor type arm, but he's a back end starter if he's a starter. Fastball doesn't blow you away. It averaged 90.5 miles an hour, which is not great. He mixes in a cutter, curve, and a changeup, all three different velo bands. So four velocity bands there. He had a 25% whiff rate and a 24% CSW. So it was a fine outing. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Monteverde is what he is. He's kind of a boring back end guy. Aaron Ashby, Nashville AAA, that's the Brewers, obviously. We have been waiting for Ashby to return. He was optioned in a game against the St. Paul Saints where, you know, there was two starters that looked pretty good. We'll talk about the other one in a minute. But Aaron Ashby completed five innings, needed just 77 pitches. He struck out five. He walked two. He did allow three earned runs. But I will say that there were some encouraging things from Ashby. He threw heavy uses of changeup. 60% changeup usage was pretty interesting. He did not use the fastball all that often. And now I'm actually wondering if some of these pitches were misclassified. Just looking at how, you know, the arsenal was, his fastball did top out at 93.6. It's a sinker with decent downward movement and some decent run as well. Looking at it, I do think some of the changeups were misclassified. He had changeup that was listed at 92.6. That was definitely a sinker looking at it. He had several other changeups that were in the 92 range that I think are sinkers for sure. Just looking at the movement profile, it matches nearly to a T of the sinkers. So when you look at, if you look at Savant, you see 60% usage on that. I think that that's definitely wrong. Looking at the actual changeup usage, the changeup ranged from 85 to 87 miles an hour. And you can certainly see the defined difference in those pitches as the changeup had much more drop, but it does have a similar horizontal movement profile to the sinker. So the changeup was used, it was used 20 times. So definitely not a 60% usage on the changeup. Going back and looking at that, and Savant will go back in and reclassify. But that is encouraging to see that he did use the changeup at least 20 times on 77 pitches, mixed in the curveball as well, and even the slider too. You look at what missed bats, and it was actually the sinker missing some, the changeup missed some. He missed a couple with the slider. He got two swings on the slider, getting whiffs on both pitches. I think Ashby's still an intriguing arm, and I'd watch out pretty closely because I think that, obviously, coming back from injury, you're not going to get big results right away, but I do think that there is the chance that we see Ashby get back in this major league rotation pretty soon. And he could be a pretty intriguing arm if he can figure things out.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
On the flip side of this game, Simeon Woods Richardson threw against this Nashville team. He completed 5 scoreless innings, striking out 4, walking 2, and allowing 3 hits. Simeon Woods Richardson has kind of lost a lot of shine recently. He did lead with a slider, mixed the slider, four-seam, and changeup each 30% of the time. He threw a curveball in there a little bit as well. You know, I think that Simeon Woods Richardson still has a lot to prove. Can he get back to relevance? Possibly, but last year was not a good year for him at all. He did get a 39% whiff rate and a 33% CSW. So that was an encouraging start for Simeon Woods Richardson yesterday against Nashville, which is Milwaukee's AAA, and has some pretty intriguing bats at that. Sam Huff, we talked about Dustin Harris on this Round Rock team. But what about Sam Huff, former catcher that was considered a top prospect at one point? Huff had 3 hits, including a triple and a home run. He had 3 hard hit balls, including one over 110 miles an hour. And he had several others that registered 105 and 102. He had a flyout that nearly left the yard, leaving the bat at 91 miles an hour. Huff is off to a good start to the year. And if the Rangers need a catcher, I don't see why Huff could not be up. I know that name seems like a blast from the past at this point. He's just 26 years old. There's no reason to believe that he could not be a serviceable hitting catcher, which is very viable for fantasy purposes. So you look at that from Sam Huff, and I don't know. I'm intrigued. I'm at least watching pretty closely what happens here. I've always liked the power potential in that bat, and maybe there's more there. Yoan Dominguez, 28-year-old. You know, he's not much of a prospect in the White Sox org, but he did strike out 8 across 5 innings. That's worth noting. Yariel Rodriguez made his pro debut outside of spring training. I had some hesitancy that he was going to be stretched out as a starter, considering he's been a reliever for most of his career. But Rodriguez was actually very good in his first start against the Red Sox AAA. He threw 4 innings, scoreless, near perfect, no hits. He allowed 1 walk, and he struck out 6 batters. Rodriguez looked pretty good. My friend Ian Kundle was there and saw the start and spoke very highly of what he saw as well. Kind of the breakdown of the arsenal with Rodriguez looked like this. He threw the fastball 50% of the time. It set 92.5, touched 94.5, high spinning pitch with some decent ride on it. He threw the fastball, or the slider, 31% of the time, the changeup 13%. He ended the day with a 30% whiff rate and a 33% CSW. When we look at the pitch shapes and like classifications, the fastball, you know, showed some interesting shape. It was not a lot of horizontal. There were some that had more IVB than others, but then others were a lot lower IVB. It's just interesting looking at that. He had a couple pitches that I think were misclassified. The splitter did sit upper 80s, pretty close to some of the fastballs, but it had good downward shape and a lot of horizontal compared to the fastball. So I like to see that. The slider, it had good depth, had a lot of sweep consistently sitting 82 to 85. It averaged about 12 to 15 inches of sweep, which is really good to see. And the curveball had good downward action, two-plane break, 62 inches consistently of drop on the curveball, and it had up to 17 inches of sweep. So the arsenal is pretty intriguing here with Yariel Rodriguez, especially if the fastball does tick up. If he does become a viable starter, I'll eat the crow because I did not think that they were going to stretch him out to be a starter because he had been a reliever pretty consistently since 2021. But I will say that was pretty encouraging what I watched from Yariel Rodriguez, and the reports from the game were actually very good on him too. So a couple other hitters to hit on before we get out of here. It was an encouraging day, obviously, for the Orioles guys. Holiday led off with a home run, as I mentioned. But Brett Wisely in the Giants org, second baseman, had three hits. He had two doubles and a triple. He drove in two runs, and he got on base again with two more walks. So he was on base five of six times, so that's something to watch out. Wisely's 24 years old at this point. He's kind of a utility type bat, but you know, maybe there is some intrigue there. Old friend Stephen Piscotty is in the AAA with Oakland, had three hits as well. Other Oakland hitter, Max Muncy, not the Los Angeles Max Muncy, but this Max Muncy did get three hits, which was encouraging, had a double. I saw Muncy in the fall league, and you know, he was interesting. He still got some projection on the frame, former first-round pick. He's 21 years old, so maybe he does figure it out this year. I would love to see what he can do. Marco Luciano did have two hits. He also struck out twice and walked twice in seven plate appearances in that game. Luciano just needs to make more contact. At the end of the day, the contact is always probably going to be the biggest issue for him. If he can figure that out, then maybe there is some intrigue here, but there was still a lot of whiff yesterday. Despite getting two hits and two walks, he's always going to play up in an OBP league because he doesn't chase all that often, and he does take his walks, but he did have five whiffs on 13 swings, so that was just a 72% contact rate. Sure, it was better than it's been in the past, but 34% CSW, took a lot of pitches, took a lot of called strikes, so at the end of the day, Luciano is somebody that, you know, I'm one step out the door on here. So looking at this profile, I'm just, it's power, there's some walkability, but not much else. Connor Norby continues to hit, and we'll round out the show with him. Norby, as I mentioned, hit a home run. He had two hits in the game. He had two RBI. He walked, and he struck out. You know, Norby actually may be one of the hotter hitters in this Norfolk team outside of Heston Kerstad. Norby has put up some decent pop. He has two home runs. The exit velocities are kind of meh. They're whatever. He struck out just 5% of the time so far in 20 plate appearances. He has a 444, 450, 833 slash. So Connor Norby is certainly pushing to try and find a spot, whether it be in Baltimore or it be somewhere else. So Norby, watch out for him. That's pretty much it. We'll have a full slate of minor league action soon, just AAA today. But it was an exciting day of action. Thanks for tuning in with us for today's quick hits across the minor league. It's been the Dynasty Dugout Show. Hope you'll join us again tomorrow. But until then, everybody, spread kindness to everyone around you.